It's always a joy to be here with you folks. This is one of our favorite places to be. My wife would have been here this morning, but she's sick in bed. Last Sunday, we had her at St. Joe Hospital in Pontiac, and she came home Monday, and they did some tests, and they think she's going to be okay with her heart. But then she came down with something that they think is diverticulitis. So this morning she said, I don't know if I can go. I said, you can't. You stay in bed. And so my co-pilot today is my sister-in-law, Marlene, Doreen's sister. And she came up from Florida to spend a few weeks with us. And then I found out that they could schedule me for a back surgery. And I said, Marlene, will you stay an extra month? Now she might have to stay longer than that. I don't know. But we're not in a hurry to send her back to Florida. And she's not in a hurry to go back to Florida either. It's pretty hot there right now. Pardon? Yeah, the weather is nicer here, although it has been pretty hot here. But anyway, it's a joy for us to be here. Marlene accompanied me across the countryside. And every time I make those kind of drives in the summertime, I think to myself, I wonder what the first people that drove these roads were thinking when they came to a place called Elmont. Do you know that your town was called Newville before Elmont? And there's quite a historical thing on your phone if you don't know much about your church history. I think this city was founded in 1833. Is that right? And the church was founded in 1836, I believe it was. Nine people gathered in a log schoolhouse out on General Squires Road and formed what was the beginning of the First Congregational Church. And it quickly grew out of the school building, and they divided the congregation into three congregations, and spread them around in the different schoolhouses, and they were running about 90 people when they came together and said, we must build the First Congregational Church. And so I read that and I studied that and I thought to myself, what was it like for those people that came here probably on a horse and wagon with all their possessions to homestead what is now Elmont? There were four homesteads here that cornered on the corner down here. This was one. There was one across Van Dyke and one in the south. And those people came here, bought property, actually, and some of them homesteaded from the government and had never been here and came with all their possessions on a horse and wagon. Isn't that something to think about that? And because they wanted a place of their own. They wanted a place where they could farm and raise a family. And I love to think about these old towns And I love your building. It's a monument to history. And now with the steeple, I was so elated when I turned the corner and saw all the white, so white on the steeple. It's beautiful. And my sister-in-law Marlene jumped out of the car and says, "I got to take pictures." And it is a monument to history. It's a monument to faithfulness. It's a monument. I wonder, who's been here the longest? Of you that are here, who's been here the longest? 1960. Anybody here come here before 1960? Yes, sir. 48. Wow. Wow. The church was incorporated in 1920 and fell under the laws, of course, of the country. Somebody else had their hand up over there. No? Wow. Yes, sir. 1948 as well. Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk to you about what gave the First Congregational Church birth. We want to turn this morning in the Word of God to the book of Romans. And the book of Romans, I'll get to that in a minute. I'm old and I don't have much tread on my fingers, so it takes me a little longer. But we'll get there in a moment. Romans chapter 10. And we're going to read a few verses about what I believe is important and what I believe it takes to start and maintain a church. Your bulletin says the title of my message is Preach the Word. And without the foolishness of preaching, men will not come to repentance. But the Bible says that through the foolishness of preaching, men come to repentance. In Romans chapter 10, I'll get there here. In verse 13, we begin to read, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Oh, what a promise. He who calls upon the name of the Lord recognizes who he is, recognizes what he does, and calls on him. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Elias said, "Lord, who has believed thy report?" So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Those nine people gathered out that in that log cabin school and exercised something called faith. They were looking to the future from what they had. The Bible says faith is the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. They gathered there thinking that their community needed a voice from God. And so they organized themselves and called out a man to come and preach to them in that little village of Elmont. And I think of those days years ago when I went to a community outside Lake Orion and Oxford and a little country crossroads in a little condemned store building with a vision to reach people with the gospel of Christ. That was 1964, 65. And how God blessed and how God gave hearing ears to the preaching of the gospel. God sends men to preach the gospel. And it's the gospel that changes people's hearts. It is the gospel and powerful preaching that people hear. For example, all the city went out to hear a man robed in camel hair and a leather belt around his waist, preaching out by a riverside, and his name was called John the Baptist. And they all went out to hear him because he had a powerful message. He had a powerful message that the Savior was coming, that God was about to deliver the Messiah and to offer them a plan of salvation, not only from the Roman powers, but a salvation that is heavenly in its power. Powerful preaching of John the Baptist brought hope to the hopeless. They'd been waiting a long time for the Messiah, and he had not come. But the time had come, and it was time for the delivery of the Son of God. God himself poured himself into human flesh and dwelt among us, the Bible says, and we beheld his glory, the only glory of the Father, the only glory of the begotten of the Father. That whole thing simply means this, that God presented himself a sacrifice because we could not save ourselves. What a God. Amen? What a God. Can you say amen to that? What a God. A God that was a God of hope and a God of the Savior's coming, the Messiah's coming. And then, as he preached, walking into the midst of that group that he was preaching to out there alongside the Jordan River, was none other than God himself, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, walking into that crowd and saying to John, John, baptize me. John says, no, I deserve to be baptized to you. And he said, John, baptize me. And John baptized him in the River Jordan. And the next day, he came out where John was preaching again. And John could not contain himself. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The strong preaching of John moved people. And gave people hope and introduced people to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preaching. You say, God didn't call me to be a preacher. Oh, yes, he did. Well, God didn't call me into the ministry. Oh, yes, he did. He said for you and for me to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And as far as I know, the city of Elmont is still on the face of the earth. It's still here. And God has given a message to you to take to this village, Elmont. Marlene arrived on Sunday. On Monday, I believe it was Monday. You arrived on Sunday, right? I believe it was Tuesday. She was out at the Oakland County Fair, working with us in our gospel tent. We have a gospel tent. We set it up, set some tables up in there, and get a guy out of the box. And as people pass by, hey, you, come here. Look at the question in the box here. And they look in the box, and the question is, if you died today, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? And if they're not sure, if they have no idea, we say, give us a few minutes of your time. Thursday afternoon, Marlene sat in that tent. Now, she is not a pastor, but she is a preacher, because that afternoon she led 20 people to Christ in an afternoon. If you put your mind to it, folks, you can get people into the kingdom of God. God said, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Your life is a message to the world, and your mouth is a message to the world. Preaching brought the world to recognize who Jesus was. He was the Son of God. Recognize the fact that maybe they weren't going to be delivered from Rome immediately, but they were going to be delivered from their sin. Their names were going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they were going to sit together, as Paul says, sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, if you're born again, you're as born again as you ever be. If you're born again, your name is written in heaven. If you're born again, you're as good as there. Isn't that great hope? Isn't that a blessing to know? All we need to do is receive that gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang the songs about it. Do we believe it? Are we really looking to God through the finished work of Jesus Christ and realize that He is our eternal hope? By placing our lives on His sacrifice and letting Him pay for our sin, we have a promise from heaven. Look what it says here. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know sometimes things get hard, and sometimes we get out of the will of God and all those kinds of things, and we think maybe we've missed it, or maybe we never had it, or whatever. But the truth is, all of us have doubts. But the only thing that solves those doubts is to take God at His word. The devil is raging right now. You pick up, turn on the news, and all you hear is all this bad stuff. You open your phone up, you read all this Facebook bad stuff, and you wonder, is there any hope? Yes, there is, my friend. It's the same hope that was delivered from the beginning. Jesus said, he said he's going to prepare a place for us, and he's going to come again and receive us unto himself. One day the graves will open, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the graves could open at any moment and the dead in Christ be raised and we'll be caught up together with them and never die? What a great experience. I hate heights, but I don't think it'll bother me a bit. You know? On the day of Pentecost, the 12 went out to the mountain where people of every language and tongue had gathered. And they were all there for the great celebration. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came upon these disciples, and they began to preach. And these people looked at each other in amazement and said, "What is this? Aren't all of these Galileans? And we're hearing them speak in our own language?" You see, the preaching is a miracle. The miracle of the moment. At that time, those people needed to hear in their own language, and they heard. And then Peter stood up and he began to preach about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And men turned to each other and said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And Peter said, "Believe and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And on that day, they baptized 3,000 people. I can't imagine that. Don't you suppose that those guys were pretty tired when they got done? But I think that what happened was the Holy Ghost had come upon those people and they began to baptize each other because they were believing and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation. I think about Philip. Philip was a disciple, and he was fleeing from the tyranny of Jerusalem, and he went down to a place called Samaria. And he got down to Samaria, and he looked around, and he saw the people, and he got burdened for them. And he began to preach. And it said, the whole city turned to his preaching. You see, again, it was not Philip. It was the power of the Holy Ghost upon Philip. And Philip preached, and it said, and the city was glad. Let's go back. Almost 200 years. Do you suppose this village was glad when the gospel began to get preached and people began to get assurance of their salvation? Don't you suppose this city was a happy place? There weren't many of them, but 90 of them were showing up at the First Congregational Church. That must have been a large percentage of them, I would assume. But the preaching of the cross is to the unbelieving foolishness. But unto us it is the power of God. He went down to Samaria, began to preach, and multitudes of people were saved, and they were coming to hear the word of God. And Philip was busy with the ministry, and all of a sudden he hears this voice from God. And he says, there's a man traveling. There's a man, an Ethiopian, traveling from the city of Jerusalem down to Ethiopia. And he's reading from Isaiah about the Savior. He's reading about the deliverance of people in their heart. And the Holy Ghost said to Philip, go down to Samaria. There's a man down there in a chariot that's reading. And as the chariot passed by, Philip said, he said, do you understand what you're reading? I don't know how Philip knew what he was reading, but he knew he was reading the Old Testament scriptures. And he said, no. He said, how can I know unless somebody teach me? And Philip got in the chariot and opened the word of God to him. And what was he doing? He was preaching one-on-one. And the Ethiopian eunuch received it. And he said, what hinders me to be baptized? There's much water here. What hinders me to be baptized? And Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. History tells us that in Ethiopia, even today, there are remnants of people that claim that their Christian history goes back to the Ethiopian eunuch that came home and spread the gospel there in northern Africa. Okay? What about Peter as he was in Joppa hiding out up on the rooftop and praying and seeking the Lord, and God gave him a special vision that he was going to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And then those men down at Cornelius' house, Cornelius was praying and seeking God, didn't know much about God, but seeking the God of the Jews. And he sent four men up to Joppa to get Peter, and he got his house full. Everybody in the neighborhood had gathered at Cornelius' house. He was a centurion. He was a Roman. He had 100 soldiers under his command. And yet he was praying to the God of the Jews. And the God of the Jews sent Peter down there. And he got in the house and began to preach to those people. And that house was changed in a moment, because the Bible says, as Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. The powerful message of the gospel is preached. And, you know, oftentimes we want to give a lot of credit to who's doing the preaching. Well, God tells us that that's not an important thing. I want you to look with me to 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 17. It says, For Christ sent me not, Paul said, sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not of wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. In verse 21 it says, by wisdom, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And oftentimes we want to look at who it is that's doing it. Let me tell you something. God is not looking for great men. God is not looking for great preachers. Look what it says. For you know your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, nor many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Wow. Back and forth he talks about it. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto the made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You see, it's not those that are learned and wise, but God has chosen to take the weak things and the simple things and open doors. So many times, just the slip of the lip has wrought miracles. I don't know if I ever told you this story, but I was in Mexico one time, and we were doing some witnessing on the street. I was with an interpreter, and we got down to this house, and we saw these guys out in the back. Nobody was at the house, and they were out in the back, and they had this little arena thing, and they were training fighting roosters. They were training roosters to fight, and they had little contests. And I went back there, and I said, guys, what are you doing? Oh, we're training these fighting roosters. And I said, do you go to church anywhere? One guy said, yeah, I go up here to the Baptist church. I said, wait a minute. I've been to the Baptist church a lot. I haven't seen you there. He said, well, my dad goes more than I do. Ever hear anything like that? Excuses. And I said, look, you need to get rid of these chickens and get busy for God. About 10 years later, I'm in a nearby village, and this preacher knew the fellow that I was with and wanted me to come and preach at his church. And I got there, and the crowd was all out in the backyard. They couldn't get him in the church. You know, we were the sideshow in town. And so they set up a couple of wash tubs, and people sat out there on the lawn. The guy got up in Spanish. He said, now, I want the interpreter to interpret so that the English-speaking can hear what I'm going to say before the preacher comes. And he got up and told that story about being out with the chickens. He said, I met this man. He came to my chicken yard, and he told me to get rid of the chickens and get busy for God. And he said, here I am. No chickens, busy for God. I said, sometimes God even takes those foolish remarks and simple remarks and turns them into something positive for him. I had forgotten all about that story. And I turned to my host and I said, "Is that true?" He said, "It's true, and it was you." And I was so humbled to be there and see what God had done in that young man's life. So you never know what you're going to say or do that's going to change people's lives. Preaching calls out sin. In Romans chapter 3, over in Romans chapter 3, we read about what God says about sin. And if I can get there again, let me see here. All my markers fell out. Let's see. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." This is what God thinks of sin. He says, "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." Thank you for somebody's been to Kroger's. "There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They've altogether become unprofitable." Sound like the Detroit News? Huh? "There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asps is upon their lips, whose mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in the way, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." That's what God thinks of it. That's what's out there, folks. So we need to get the message of the gospel to the world. We need to get the message from this sanctuary to the streets. How are we going to do that? We're going to open our mouth. We're going to begin to talk to people. The reason people don't witness is, first of all, they're afraid. And second, they're afraid and they've forgotten that they have God. And secondly, that they think that somebody else can do it better than they can. Preaching is not the preacher. Preaching is not to be done by the wise and the prudent. The next chapter in the book of 1 Corinthians, it says that Paul came not with excellency of speech, nor of man's wisdom, but in the power of God. Just let God use you, and God will use you. I want to close with this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, "I, brethren, have not come to you with excellent speech or man's wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling." Much trembling. You think that was fearfulness? He says, "And my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith..." Paul says, I did it all not with wisdom, not with excellence, not with anything, but watching the demonstration of the Spirit of God at work. I say again, preaching is a miracle of the moment. A lot of times I begin to preach messages and never got to the message because the Spirit of God took over and I preached something altogether different. Last night, I fought with the devil all night about coming and preaching to you. I was in a battle with Lucifer all night. I only slept a couple of hours last night because I was in a battle with Lucifer, and God gave the victory. And the Bible says that God always causes us to triumph over the wicked one. He always causes us to triumph. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The faith that gave birth almost 200 years ago of this church, that same faith, should continue to stand. He says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. How's your faith today? How is the thermometer reading your faith today? Are you reading the faith of our fathers? Or are you reading the faith of what's going on around you at the moment? Oh God, let there be faith. Let it not be of man's wisdom, but give us the faith of those that we read about here in the Word of God, and give us the faith of those that have gone before us, generation after generation after generation, that has given us your Word and given us the witness of their lives, that we can follow them. Lord, measure our faith today. I'm going to close this prayer in a minute, but I want you there with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I want you to think about, are you exercising faith or are you just living life? Are you stepping out where you have not stepped out before? Because that's where faith is. I wonder how many of you'd say today, I need God to grant me more faith that I could be more useful for Him in carrying the message to my friends and neighbors. Preach the Word. I wonder how many of you lift your hand and say, I need God to give me that kind of faith. I want to pray for you. Would you just lift your hand and show it to me? And thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands almost all over. Oh God, increase our faith, that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Lord, I pray if there's one here that does not know Christ as their Savior, that they come and talk to us after the service and talk to us about receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. I know some have done that in our presence while we were here before, but Lord, maybe there's one here that you've spoken to today. And Lord, we ask that they would have enough faith to come and talk to us and let us show them what we have shown hundreds. Oh, those 311 young people that bowed their head at the fair and asked Christ to be their Savior. Lord, we pray for them that they would go on and exercise faith and learn more about you. Lord, I pray for these that raised their hand in this room this morning. Oh, Lord, that we would exercise our faith and grow our faith, that our lives and our message does not become stagnant. Because the minute it becomes stagnant, we become useless in your service. Lord, the beauty of this building is one thing. The beauty of the heart is another. And Lord, having assurance that you are our God and we are your servants is worth it all. Father, now bless as the service ends and we go on our way today. May your Spirit burn upon us the need to watch for the open door. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.